From the Squamish Chief.
This is the Squamish Sound. I'm Keely Bartlett.
And I'm Stephen Chua. This is the 31st episode of our weekly podcast.
You'll hear the story behind the story as we take you into the newsroom. We'll talk about what did and didn't get into the newspaper this week.
On the show today, nuns with a hydro habit, hydroelectric that is, and horsing around, a Squamish athlete and her horse win. And of course, we're going to be having our editor's pick with Jennifer Thuncher. She is going to be talking about Nanaimo's heritage policy and how Squamish could maybe learn a thing or two. First, we are talking about a miracle. Well, not quite, but kind of. It's a pretty cool story. We've got ourselves for many people are aware that there is a monastery in the Squamish Valley. Mm-hmm. Queens of Peace Monastery?
Queens of Peace Monastery, yeah. Not to be confused with the climbing area, also called the monastery.
Good point.
Not the same place.
Yes, two very distinct places. This is an actual literal monastery with mm-hmm. actual nuns.
15 of them.
15 of them, and they've come up with a really environmentally friendly project.
They have. So they are trying to be self-sustaining. They consider themselves a pretty sustainable community, just the way that they live their lives. So this monastery is actually fairly new in the valley. Mm-hmm. It was built in 2011, mm-hmm. and the property that it is on previously also used to be off-grid when a family lived there. Mm. And so they had previously had a similar project with a turbine in the water, but the license for it lapsed. And so since the monastery was built, they've kind of always had the idea that they would go back to this off-the-grid route, mm-hmm. but they've been in the process of trying to get that license back. Mm-hmm. So the Squamish Valley is on a closed grid with BC Hydro. And what will be interesting about the nuns being able to produce their own power is that it would potentially service all of their own needs. It would service a neighbor's needs who's been volunteering with the project. So his property will be included as well. And then if BC Hydro allows it, they might even be able to produce more power for more residents in the Squamish Valley, especially as it continues to grow. So that's really interesting. Mm. But one thing about the project that makes it even more sustainable is the way that they're building it is that they decided not to use any heavy machinery.
Really?
Yes.
So they are doing this
by hand. With the nuns.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
So they've devised a pulley system to bring equipment up the mountain because it's higher up than where their monastery sits.
Okay.
Just the way that it works higher up is it gives them more power. Mm-hmm. A little more technical than I'm able to get into, but they aren't using heavy machinery. And so that was a choice that they made because they didn't want to disturb the natural habitat. They spend a lot of time by this river and they mm-hmm. really like it. They've become very fond of it. Mm-hmm. So they didn't want to damage it in any way. They didn't want to take out any of the trees around it. And so instead, a few of the nuns go up and they spend 1 or 2 days a week just working away.
Oh, geez. Okay. Yeah. And the nuns themselves build this. They don't hire people out.
They have some volunteers. Okay. And they do have a consultant for the more technical things that they're not able to do themselves.
Right.
You know, they don't all have a background in engineering
yes.
or renewable energy. So, yeah. But that's, yeah, it's not really what you expect from a monastery, which yeah. is what makes the story so interesting, is that these people just kind of took it upon themselves to find a way to be more sustainable for their environment, which is pretty cool. They're hoping mm-hmm. to have it ready next summer. So they're not currently letting people come see it because
okay.
it is an active site,
okay,
right?
Okay.
It is a work site. But they are hoping that eventually they would have a electric vehicle charger
what?
At the monastery for when people come to visit, they can bring their electric cars.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And
okay.
on the nuns' wish list for anyone making a very generous donation, they are hoping that eventually somebody will donate them a used electric vehicle.
Oh.
Because they share a car right now.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, just putting it out there. Any of you who got a spare EV.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So there you have it.
Amazing. Well, that's going to be a hard act to follow up. But.
Sister act. What
but,
else?
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Very hard sister act. Yeah, actually, you know what? We should just end the show right now. It's over.
No. Tell us about the horses.
Okay. Yes. So we are bringing to you horses. specifically a local Squamish athlete. Her name is Isabella Fietz, and she has been crowned as the reserve champion in a very, very big event. Mm-hmm. So this is called the Pacific Regional Dressage Championships for this year. It happened in Langley in the Thunderbird Show Park. And we talked with her coach, Wes Child, and maybe it's not... I don't know if it's fair enough to call it the Stanley Cup of horse shows, but it's up there, especially for the Western Conference. He says that it's something that everyone tries to shoot for, mm-hmm. and it's a significant win. So he can put a little bit more of the context into that.
Definitely for our neck of the woods, this last championship of the year is a pretty big deal. Thunderbird attracts some of the best riders, trainers, horses, for definitely the West Coast. It's always the number one show to hit. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a big deal, and it's something that all the riders work forward to. There's lots of little shows around the Lower Mainland throughout the summer that we get practice at, but we're always looking forward to head to Thunderbird and compete there.
So yes, being able to be the reserve champion is mm-hmm. definitely a big deal here. So for people who don't follow horse sports that much,
I don't. Basically,
you have a champion who's like the numero uno, and mm-hmm. then after that, you are also they also crown a reserve champion mm-hmm. for the person who gets the second spot, and it's no small task, especially when you are dealing with a sport such as dressage, which is very much in addition to having to be fit, having to be mentally prepared, your horse also has to be the same too. And the fun thing about this is that Isabella was partnered with this horse. His name is Remington. Mm-hmm. And Remington was a deadbeat.
Oh my God.
A complete deadbeat. He was unemployed. He really did not have a lot going on in his life. Wow. He was overweight. He was standing there in the field doing nothing.
Not your prime athlete.
No. They just basically picked this deadbeat off the field mm-hmm. and turned him into a winning machine.
The horse that she was riding, Remington, just 8 months ago was basically mm-hmm. in a field. He had no job, no kind of career or path. Mm-hmm. And they took him, and she's been working with him 4 or 5 days a week and taking lessons, and yeah, has brought him this far. So it's a pretty big deal for her. And yeah, we're super excited to see what happens in the future with them.
So I guess you could say Isabella took kind of a deadbeat.
Yeah, basically, yeah, exactly.
Turned
we didn't really
champion.
Know what we were going to get, but it's turned out quite well.
So yeah, Remington has turned his life around. Thanks
to
Isabella.
Good for him. Well, it goes to show what sports can do for some people.
Exactly.
And some horses.
Yes, with a little bit of positive can-do attitude and a bit of direction. Mm-hmm. You too can become a mighty horse just like Remington. So Remington has been doing really well, but he still has all the lovable characteristics that made him Remington. His owner, Kim Lawrence, tells us that he is still very much into giving horse hugs.
Mm-hmm.
Horse hugs, apparently, look like he draws you in mm-hmm. with his head and neck, and then he wraps his neck around you.
Okay.
So
yeah.
he's still very much into the horse hugs. So despite mm-hmm. being a seasoned athlete now, he is still maintaining his soft side.
Oh,
yes.
That's sweet.
It's very nice.
One thing that's so interesting about this story is, in our sports section, you never really know what kind of sports are going to be covered in Squamish. There's
yeah.
so many different kinds.
So many different kinds. And I think in a lot of other communities, you're basically used to seeing like the big three or four sports, mm-hmm. which is like basketball, soccer, hockey,
yeah.
football. But Squamish, I mean, everyone here does so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really an out-of-the-box kind of town.
Yeah.
So you'll have hockey and football alongside with, I don't know, skydiving and climbing and paragliding and whatever have you, like mountaineering.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, really cool mix. And this just kind of showcased that. So we got equestrian athletes right here. So yeah, there you have it. Isabella and Remington have formed a unlikely but very powerful team. And they've got a lot to show for it. So congratulations on the win. And then we'll be hopefully hearing a little bit more from this partnership in the future. Okay, we're bringing it to our editor, Jennifer Thuncher, and she's here to tell us what her pick of the week is. Jen, what's going on?
Hey, obviously the election is a huge thing. Mm-hmm. So Monday night, we will be the most important thing about Monday night. Pizza, right?
Pizza, yes. Not democracy, but pizza.
No,
yes.
Pizza, because every time that we cover, because it'll be a long day for us and anyone working in the election, we get a pizza. And that there's even a Twitter handle. Do you follow
election
it?
Election pizza. Yes.
Little journalism insider. We're deep people. Deep dish. people. Okay, so the election is most important, but this is important, actually.
All right.
Heritage. Squamish doesn't have a heritage policy that's all set out, even though they've been working on it for a long time.
Hmm.
So in November, the first week of November, I believe, let me get my facts straight, November 2nd, an event from 9:30 till 4 is going to be bringing people together through the Squamish Heritage Society. BC Heritage is coming to town. So if folks want to get involved, they should email info@squamishhistory.ca.
Okay.
They are looking for people who want to have a say. And really, all of us should want to have a say in this because as we develop more, we're losing some of our heritage buildings, which we have. And so I contacted Nanaimo, which is a much bigger community.
Okay.
About 120,000, a port city. But I contacted them because they actually have been talking and working on heritage in that community since the 1970s and even late 1960s, 1970s. They really got serious about it in the 80s when the government was starting to give out grants to look at it. So I talked to their planner, who's actually worked for the city there for heritage planner, worked for the city there since, okay, go back 27 years. I don't know. 27 years.
Okay. 27 years ago.
Math. Right. Not good at math. And so they have 160 buildings that are under their heritage registry. And many of them are privately owned. They have 8 sites, which I found interesting. So cemeteries, heritage cemeteries. And then they have a ball field, which is hails from the 1800s.
Whoa.
Yeah. So it was set up in the 1800s. Being a port city, they got started as a settlement quite early. So from post-contact with First Nations, they've have buildings and things that they're preserving. He gave some advice for anyone trying to sort of start up something in Squamish, which I thought was interesting that I hadn't really thought of before, which is economic development and heritage go hand in hand.
Okay.
So he described it as what he hopes people feel. If you go into downtown Nanaimo, what you'll see is, yes, a bustling downtown with businesses, no empty storefronts, high rises mixed with low rises, all that kind of thing. But he pointed out that for economic development, part of the piece is also, does this community care about itself and about its history?
Hmm.
And if you're maintaining heritage pieces that people can see, so there's the Castaway Hotel, which has a maintained storefront from back in the day. If you see that, then he says, as part of the piece of economic development, visitors to the town and locals also go, well, they care about what built this town. And that makes me want to spend more time here.
Mm.
So an interesting piece for Squamish to think of as we move forward.
Keeping a sense of identity.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, Jen.
Ciao.
The Squamish Sound is brought to you by the Squamish Chief. The music for this episode was produced by Stephen Chua, cover photo by Clayton Matthews. Have a story tip? Give us a call at 604-892-9161. Send an email to news@squamishchief.com. You can read these stories and more online at squamishchief.com, the newspaper, and have the news delivered to your door every week.